This episode is doomed to go where all episodes go, to die.
Oh, a trash bin. Okay.
This episode is already wet. We're only 5 minutes in.
I don't know how I'm going to edit this. It's going to be like so choppy. All right, guys. Woo,
here we go. Start over.
I need to apologize to y'all in advance for this episode editing.
Welcome to The Sojo Show with Jen and AJ, where you'll dig deep into God's Word alongside two imperfect, frequently ineloquent women as we discover fresh ways to walk out God's truth together.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to The Sojo Show with Jen and AJ.
Welcome.
And together we are here. Why did I say that backwards? Like Yoda, together we are together. Here.
We are here. Here we are together.
Here we are together.
I don't know. Together we
whatever
podcast you are listening to.
Hey, this is our number three.
It's only number three that we're recording.
My brain is backwards, as you can tell. Yeah. So this is going to be a very interesting podcast episode. But
I'm nervous because I'm not sure which direction we're going with this 100%.
Well, I'm not either, but
this is her gig. I'm blaming you. AJ, it's AJ. I'm blaming her.
The only reason she's saying that is because I'm the one who wrote the study this month on the Lord's Prayer.
Yes, I know.
So she is laying blame at my feet already.
The Lord's Prayer. I mean, that's so obscure.
I mean, you know, it's good stuff, though. It's good stuff. And as we will see today, there is a centrality, I think, to the Lord's Prayer. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Okay, I'm ready. But
before we get there, I have a question for
you. It's like hot seat. I feel like I'm on the hot seat.
You are in the hot seat, girl.
Multiple ways.
You are totally. And especially with the question I'm getting ready to ask you.
Okay.
Which is, when was the last time you got a speeding ticket?
A speeding ticket. You know what? It's been a very long time. I mean, honestly, I can remember one speed ticket. I can remember one.
Okay.
But I was in medical school. Literally.
Okay. So maybe there was
school.
A reason why you needed that ticket. That
no.
You were
no.
A little speedster.
I was class. I was in medical school. I was in actually in the back roads of Georgia. And because I was doing like a little, I don't know, a little, what do you call it? A little rotation out in a country office. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. All you need to know is that I was.
That you can't speed down them back roads.
Zipping along those back roads.
Back roads.
But for those of you who know me, I'm old. That was a long time ago. I was in medical school like 24, 5, 6, 7, like almost 30 years ago. Like 27 years ago.
Okay, so you don't mind sharing your
26,
age.
25.
Okay.
No, 28. I don't know. A long time ago.
I see how you roll.
This tells you how old I am. I can't even remember. I graduated from medical school in 1994.
Wow. You are just giving away all the
details. I know. All my secrets. Why are we asking this question?
Why am I asking?
Why are you asking
okay,
me
yeah,
this
why
question?
Why am I putting you in the hot seat? Right? Well, I think that getting tickets or not getting tickets is an indicator of how submissive you are to authority.
Okay.
Or how you recognize the authorities in your life.
Maybe or how good you are at knowing where the speed traps are.
Not quite on point, but okay. We can do
right.
That.
You're right. Obeying authority. Got it. With you.
So, but I'm I will say that earthly authorities sometimes are kind of silly and stupid. For example, if you have a speed limit of 20.
Y'all, do not listen to this. Okay, if you are okay. If you are my so teenager, do not listen to this.
Do not so listen. Apparently, I just don't need to be doing this episode.
I'm just saying that if you are my child who's driving, do not listen to this part.
Okay, let me back up. You can cut all of that. We'll just back up and say sometimes human authorities can get things wrong.
Yes. And sometimes, and because they're human, they can abuse their authority.
They sure can.
Okay. There you go. Sometimes they can.
But sometimes we take that as, well, we
an
take
excuse.
The liberty.
We do. That's a good point.
To make ourselves our own authority. So this is kind of the central point that I see in the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is all about.
Ooh, let's get back to prayer.
Yeah, let's get back to prayer because we've been all over the place. And we haven't heard the half of it.
We are talking about prayer.
Yes.
This is our second episode. The first one was last week.
And yes.
No, that's not true.
No. Well, what? I'm so
confused. What we think is this. Okay.
All right. This episode is already wet. We're only 5 minutes in.
All right. So sometimes, all right, let's recap. Let's get back on the rails. Ready? Okay. So this is an episode on prayer. Authority, sometimes abused. Yes, earthly authority. However, I believe you're gonna probably tell us something about our heavenly authority.
Yes.
Yes, and, tell us. And let's keep talking about God here.
Let me just say that there is so much in the Lord's Prayer that we could talk about.
Yes.
Right. There is so much. Mm-hmm. And we only have limited episodes to do this. Mm-hmm. So what we have chosen to do is to focus on this one central point. So instead of me like talking, because I've already kind of messed that up already.
Today, y'all don't even know the number of editing we have done.
Okay.
The amount of editing
I have said a really bad word apparently already. So, and I've just like blanked a few times. So
listen to the end of this podcast.
Yes.
We will not put the bad word in there.
But Jen is bound and determined to show me up.
I can't stop laughing though.
So, okay.
I'm not showing you up. I'm preventing you from embarrassing yourself. Not embarrassing yourself.
Now you're telling my secrets. You're telling, first you told yours, now you're telling mine.
You said it. You just told them in the whole world.
I don't believe you told it's a bad word.
All of our tens of listeners,
I am that still.
You said a bad word.
I'm not believing that.
Oh, do not say it out loud again to get me.
Well. All of that to say.
All that to say.
I'm just going to read the Lord's Prayer.
Let's just read the Word of God. Please.
We need it. We need it, girls. Sisterhood. We need it. Okay, so this is from Matthew 6, 9 through 13, and I'm reading it from the King James Version.
Okay.
Because this is kind of the one that I memorized it in, probably you did too, and it's just familiar.
The song.
Yes, that's right. So, but please don't
sing it.
Please don't.
Why not?
I knew you were going there. See? Like, I knew I could read your mind. Father, I could read your mind. Okay, sure. Go ahead. All right. So,
song.
Let me read it for us.
Okay.
This is what it says.
I can sing it.
And these are the words of Jesus. So pay attention. Pay attention. All right. Here we go.
I can't get past it. All right. Go.
I can't get past the other word you said.
What?
That's unrepeatable too.
Really? I said a word that was unrepeatable?
On a podcast.
She's making this up now to make herself feel better.
Oh no. No. You want me to say it for everybody to hear?
What I said. Seriously, whisper it to me. Okay, tell me when we're over, because I don't remember saying a bad word, but I could have.
Okay.
It's possible.
So let's read from Matthew 6.
Please, Jesus, let's read.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Okay.
All right. So now that we've kind of refreshed our minds with that scripture, to me, the thing that jumps out to me, the central point, is the authority of God. And maybe it's something different to you. Maybe this is just me and the way that I'm reading through this passage. But to me, I see the authority of not only God, but of the heavenly realm, because we see the phrase in heaven is mentioned twice. And we also see this whole, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. It's like the focus. And even in the beginning where it says, our Father who art in heaven, our whole focus is upward. It's directed to something outside of this physical realm that we live in. So with that in mind, with thinking about the whole, the spiritual dimension, right? My mind goes to the authority of that and the higher realm that that is over the one we presently live in. So if something is higher, typically speaking, the lower is in subjection.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So let's talk about...
In this instance, yes, I agree.
In this instance. Yes. And most of the time, I mean, not in all situations, but typically we think of that. Mm-hmm. So let's think a little bit about how our culture is so vehemently against the authority that we see modeled in this Lord's Prayer.
Well, really all authority to some extent, we as livers in this culture are seeing an increase in rebellion against really all authority over the last few years, like we haven't in a long, long time. Now, I know that from the beginning, man has rebelled against God. And because there's been sin, there is always this rebellion. Mm-hmm. And before we were saved, we were also rebels against Christ. We were enemies of Christ. We're enemies of God.
Yeah.
But now we are at peace with him through the work of Christ on the cross. But all that to say, seems like the outward manifestations of rebellion against authority seem to be more prominent now. Now, that it may just be because we see more of it because of the global nature of our technology, but it's definitely a trend that seems to be getting worse. I will agree with you on that.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, I think the scripture indicates that as time goes on in latter times, people will become more and more lawless.
Yes.
You know, there's going to be this progression of human nature that rebels against any sort of authority. And we see it going back to the beginning of time with Satan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's called the lawless one, where he decided, I am not submitting myself to God Almighty, my creator.
I think that there is going to be, I think you're talking about the progression. I think that there is going to be more of a delineation between believers and non-believers over time, and the goats and the sheep, and that there's that biblical culling of the goats and the sheep. I mean, and I do think that that's a whole different conversation, that it's going to be more difficult for us as believers to take a stand because there's going to be such a delineation between those who trust in Christ and those who do not. And it will eventually, I believe, lead to more persecution. It has in other places already, but even here. And I think this lawlessness that you're talking about, this rejection of authority in the earthly realm, I think this is part of what we're seeing. That should not surprise us necessarily for people who are not believers to be rebelling and sinning, right? That's not a surprise. None of that should not come as a surprise for any Christian, because we are told this is going to happen. But I do think that there's a stark contrast to be made between those of us who are living under the authority of God. And that needs to be an example to an onlooking world to see that difference. It's a light. It's light on a hill more now than ever, I think. Mm-hmm. And I shouldn't say more than ever. That's probably not fair. But I see it as more distinct now in my lifetime, at least.
Well, for me, going back to the centrality of the Lord's Prayer is this phrase, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is where we start to see that delineation you were just talking about. Are we ones who live in subjection to the Lord's kingdom? And we're saying, okay, God, yes, I'm in agreement with you that it is your kingdom that I want to see come. Or are we in the camp of, I want to decide my own life. I want to decide my own destiny. I get to decide who I am, what I want to be, who I hang out with, you know, which camp are we in? Are we in the camp of being in subjection to the Lord and his kingdom and his plan and his law? Or are we in the camp of saying, nobody's going to tell me what to do? And I think that question alone is very discerning of our heart.
Yes.
So let's talk for a minute about how we as a people and as a culture are seeing this progression, or we're seeing this play out in front of our very eyes. I mean, for me, I think we live in a culture where we demand that God cave to us, and that his standard that we see in scripture change according to what we want to be. So basically, we are setting ourselves up as our own God. We have rejected the God of gods and the King of Kings, and we've made ourselves to be our own God, that we get to decide who we are, what we want to do. So how do you see this playing out in our culture?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a term that is a recent term that's very descriptive. And it's what we're seeing a lot of, and it's called expressive individualism. And it is a progression, I think really historical progression over time and it's a progression of sin and cultures. And there's so much to it, but we are at a point now where everyone feels like they have the right to have this expressive individualism, meaning what I view as truth about myself should be paramount.
So are you saying that if I don't see myself as a 48-year-old woman, I don't have to be 48?
Exactly. Okay. You could be 25.
Well, hallelujah. That's good news to me.
So that's not a stretch at all.
No, it's really
that's not a stretch, because that is what the culture is telling us. Right now, you may be listening saying, well, that's ridiculous. I am my age. Well, yeah, you are your age. But in today's culture,
we are definitely redefining.
We're redefining science. Who we are.
Yes.
If we can redefine who God created us to be as far as our gender, then why can't we redefine it based on our age?
I mean, there's no
of our age. There are no boundaries or no rules.
That's right.
And that is where we are seeing the culture now. It's been this way. It's been shifting for a long time. It's been shifting since the fall. But it has really been this huge, I think this huge escalation over the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years, really, 10 years maybe, this huge escalation. And I do think it is showing who the people of Christ are, who the people of God are.
Right.
And it's more important than ever that we show ourselves to be willing to be under the authority of Christ.
Because basically, when someone decides they are going to be whatever or whoever they want to be, they're saying, God, you don't have the right to tell me who I am. You are the creator, but you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a fact that God is all of our creators, and yet we have decided, as a culture, we are not giving him that right. We're taking that away and we're giving it to ourselves. And we can recreate ourselves. That's even a term that's out there. You know, recreate yourself,
right.
Reinvent yourself. Become whoever it is you want to be. And that is not only foolish, but it's stupid.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I think it again, I'm going to go back to the fact that as believers, we should not be surprised this is happening in the world. But where we need to be very, very careful is that it's bleeding into church culture as well.
Yeah.
And so what's happening is we are in some ways redefining what the Word of God even says.
Right.
And we are redefining basic principles of the faith are now more and more thought of as hate speech.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and I think at the very root of that,
people are giving into that. They're caving into that.
Yes, absolutely. As a church, we see this happening. And I think at the root of it is, okay, who gets to define what sin is? Okay, let's just start there. And you know what? It isn't us.
Right.
It isn't the church. It isn't people. It isn't the culture. It is only God. Only God can define what sin is. And we have to allow his word to do that. And there has to be the standard, and it has to come from him and not ourselves. And if we would just start there, and if we would just believe that what he says he means, that God has spoken and he has not stuttered, and just start there and evaluate our own lives accordingly, we would see ourselves shift a lot less mm-hmm. with this culture.
Yes. And I do think that we have to stand strong in this culture. Mm-hmm. We're in this world. We're not of this world, but we are still here, and we have to stand strong, and we have to be the contrast.
Yeah.
And that's hard. That is sometimes really hard. And we cannot, as believers, we have to have that delineation. We cannot pander to what the world's thoughts are on certain things. There's a quote that I was thinking of, and I just looked it up. It's from William Stott.
Yes.
This is William Still. He was a Scottish pastor. All you need to know is this quote is cool, because he talks about not to be an entertainer of goats. So not to dabble and like kind of be okay with, be tolerant, I think is what a lot of this is saying. Mm-hmm. Do not entertain goats. It says, let goats entertain goats and let them do it out in goat land. You will certainly not turn goats into sheep by pandering to their goatishness. Do we really believe that the word of God by his spirit changes men? If we do believe that, if we believe it will really change men, then we need to be feeders of sheep and men of the word of God, men and women of the word of God. Meaning, and the point of this is that we cannot, all of these things, these that the world is now coming at us with, we can't be okay with that. We cannot be tolerant of the sin. Do we need to love the sinner? Do we need to continue to reach out to them? Do we need to continue to, you know, love them? Absolutely. But we cannot blur the lines of the sin that you're talking about.
Right.
And you know, we have to feed ourselves and feed the sheep the word of God, because that is all that can change. That's all that can change the dying world. When someone is deep into this and they are not trusting in Christ, they have no, the only thing that can change them is the gospel.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think going back to just the centrality of understanding scripture, like we have to know what God's word says.
Yes.
And we have to believe it. It has to be our standard. We have to make that decision up front. You know, we have to decide now, I am going to believe God's word, and I'm not going to let the culture interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to let God's word interpret God's word, and that is going to be my standard, and I'm going to hold to it. I'm not going to allow all of these voices and this noise cause confusion for me. I'm going to let God's word speak for itself. And it does. Mm-hmm. It does, guys. We don't have to be wishy-washy, tossed to and fro by every wave that comes along, as scripture says. We can stand firm on the truth and be a light in the darkness that we live in.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at a couple verses before we head out. And just to kind of show this, to show the authority of God, so that we hide this in our hearts, so that we can come back to this on a regular basis. So Romans 9 says that, you know, has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and the other dishonorable use? And we could go into this really deeply, mm-hmm. but the point of it is the same as in Isaiah 64. The point that we're making right now is Isaiah 64:8, which says, oh Lord, you are the Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all works of your hands. So both of these verses say the same thing, that, you know, that we are the created and he is the creator, mm-hmm. and he is the one who chooses how we are made. Mm-hmm. He right. has made us in his image and the way that we are. Now, this is a very important, you know, I wouldn't think this is something that we should have to spell out, that we would need to wrap our brains around this, But we do.
We do.
We have to wrap our brains around the fact. And if you're listening, you're a little bit older and you think, oh yeah, this is ridiculous that we have to even discuss it. You still need to be thinking through this, because I guarantee you there's someone in your sphere of influence who is working through this in their own mind.
Right. Because our culture teaches
our
younger generation that you are your own God.
Yes.
You can create and make yourself to be whatever you want.
Whatever you want. And we have to know that we were created. And we were created for a purpose.
That's right.
We were created for a purpose, and once we kind of wrap our brains around who we are, who he is, and the fact that he is a good and gracious and loving God, and that yes, he is our Father in heaven, and yes, he does have authority over all things, but looking at the full canon of scripture, knowing how much he actually loves us and cares for us, it allows us to accept these things with such humility and grace in ways that can show an onlooking world the beauty of that.
Right. And just to add to that, if someone has created something, that creator is the only one who knows how to use it best.
Yes.
And it's the same for us. We have a creator who knows what's best for us and how, in what environment we work best. Like, our best selves can only come when we know what God's plan is for us and what his purposes are and how he uniquely designed us. Because he's the one that knows all of those intricate details. And we're going to miss all of that if we try to take that role on as for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're selling ourselves short.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And here's the other interesting part of this, and the part that we as Christians sometimes lose sight of. And this reminds me of this Psalm 115:3, that our God is in the heavens and he does as he pleases, which means that he is sovereign over this culture. Mm-hmm. He is sovereign over this world. He knows what's happening. He has set his people apart. He is setting us apart for a purpose, mm-hmm. and he is going to do what he pleases. Mm-hmm. And he is a holy God. He will not tolerate rebellion. Mm-hmm. And we have to be right with him. We have to be at peace with him. We go from being enemies of God to sitting at his table and being joint heirs with Christ,
right,
when we trust in him. But that has to be our foundation, right? And in doing that, we have to show the world, because he's drawing men to him. He's drawing people to him through all this nonsense. I hate to say it, but he is. And it's as scary as it is, and for those of us who are parents, as worried as we get, as fretful as we get, we have to know that God is still God. He mm-hmm. is still sovereign, and he does as he pleases.
Well, and I think that ties in perfectly to Matthew 28:18, where Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he said, go therefore.
Yeah.
Go therefore. He said, all authority is mine, and I'm sending you out under and with this authority. And we can take heart in that when we share the truth, when we are ambassadors for the gospel and for Christ, that authority is going to have an impact in our culture, yeah, in our homes, in our own lives.
What grace.
What grace.
What a cool thing.
It's incredible. So this is a great time to be alive.
Yeah.
This is a great time to be alive. Yeah.
And you know what? Let's circle right back around to prayer, because we're talking about the Lord's Prayer and the authority of God in the Lord's Prayer. But then let's circle back down to our responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so our responsibility is to understand his authority, to understand who we are, you know, but also as believers, our part of our responsibility is to be in prayer,
yes,
to be, go back and listen to the first episode in the prayer series, because we talk about different types of prayer, and we are to stand before the Father and pray for others. And that includes, of course, those that we love, but it also includes the nations, our rulers, our leaders, and the dying world. We can stand and plead for them, and You know, and God will hear our prayers, and we have to do that.
Yes, we do. And I will just put in a little word for the Bible study on the Lord's Prayer, because we go in depth into this prayer. It's a full month study, and we talk in depth about what it looks like to ask God for His kingdom to come on this earth, mm-hmm. in our lives, in our homes, in our hearts, in our communities, as it has already been decreed in heaven. Like, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he rules, and heaven knows it. Like, in heaven, if God says to one of His angels, go do this, it's done. Like, there's no debate. It's complete. There's no delay. There's no thinking about it. Mm-hmm. It's done. And that's how we are to pray for His will to be done on earth. It's to be done here as it is in heaven. What kind of prayer life would we have if we prayed like that? If we saw His will being completed like that, His word is full of His will. We know what His will is. And what if we prayed for that to happen here on earth, in my heart, in my home, in my mind, in my body, in my children, in my relationships, in my conversation? Like, what would it look like if the people of God really began to pray that? It would be powerful. So I really do encourage you to grab this study if you haven't, because it will change your prayer life just by working through some of these things in a real practical manner.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. We'll link that below. We also have a freebie link below. That's just a little free bookmark that you can jot down these thoughts. You can go through, you can take notes as you are studying prayer, as you're listening to us, as you're listening to other people talk about it, but more importantly, as you are hearing what the Word of God has to say in your life about these topics. And so go pick that up as well. And we want to be women of faith, women of the Word, and women of prayer. Mm-hmm. And so Amen. We pray that actually for everyone listening.
Yes.
That you will be standing firm, that you will, you know, face this culture head on, knowing that this is not our ultimate home, and that we can be light and salt.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So we'll see you next time. And we'd love for you to say hello to us. Leave us a comment, leave us a review. Let us know that you're listening. And we hope that you have an excellent day.
See you next time.
Bye.
Hey guys, it's AJ here with a personal question. Do you ever long to connect with other women over God's word? If so, I'd like to personally invite you to be part of our online Bible study community. Sojo Academy is where Jen and I meet via Zoom every week with our global community to discuss God's word, pray, and share what we are learning with each other. In Sojo Academy, you'll get a fresh Bible study every month, as well as weekly meetups, Bible journaling kits, accountability, community, and an entire library of workshops and Bible study tutorials. Jumpstart your walk with God and come hang out with us live this week. Visit SojoAcademy.com and we'll see you inside.
I cannot believe you just said it like on the podcast. I was like, what's happening? Okay, so we're not going to repeat the word, but I'm just going to tell you guys, because we might put this at the end, that AJ just said a really vulgar word and she didn't know.
Okay, listen.
I didn't know it was a bad word. And I was like, what? It's happening.
Okay, talking about age, going back to the age thing, 30 years ago, it was not a bad word.
We would have had to put a warning label on this podcast if you had said that.
It did not mean a part of somebody's anatomy.
Yes, it did. It has always meant that.
It does not. No. You grew up in the backwoods of Georgia, girl. I did not. I got class.
Y'all should have seen my eyes when she said that. Did you just say what you said? Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
It's not
that is word. Hysterical. I don't know how we're going to recover now.
Okay, well, apparently this is why we have two of us doing this podcast and not just one of us, because that would have gone out into the wow blue yonder.
Okay, how are we going to recover?
I'm feeling very, very insecure now. You've just pulled out all my insecurities.
It was just one word, but it was not a word you need to repeat.
Well, now I'm glad to know, because I would have told it my friends at church.
You, as a verb, you can repeat it. Like, if you're like,
no, they're going to be guessing what it is. You better stop.
Okay. All right. So back to your. This podcast is for 18 and over only. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. My soul. Okay. Stop. We have got to get back.
You have to be the one to edit this podcast.
Oh, 100%. Veronica
cannot.
No one will hear this. This has
to go where all episodes go to die.
All edited clips go to die. This will be deleted, like, and never resurrected. Okay. All right. Woo. Back to your ticket.
Okay. Yeah, I don't even know where we were.
Why don't we start with
full disclosure? You can just cut out.
Yeah, just cut that out.
That I got a ticket. Just cut that out. Just
cut it out.
We'll just move right on along. We see a couple things repeated.
Bated breath. I was like, yes.
Repeated it. The word I want.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. Seriously, what is going on with me?
Say the words. We see a couple of things repeated again.
In the Lord's Prayer, we see a couple of the words repeated. And one of those things is the phrase.
Oh my goodness.
We need some water.
We need some water. Oh my word. What is happening right now?